The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, interesting days. I know we're not on the air tomorrow because of Tisha B'Av, and I wanted to talk a little bit about Tisha B'Av. But before we do that, I just wanted to let people know that we've got a new service in Israel. It's called Tov TV.
Yes, we were speaking about that. That sounds absolutely appalling.
So I just liked it because I thought the name was so great, Tov TV. I mean, it just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Tov TV. This is Israel's kosher Netflix streaming service, which apparently is good for the religious community because it cuts out all the juicy bits, all the immodest bits, as they like to call them, for those people who wanting to watch Tov TV. But I do really want to talk about Tisha B'Av, and I was going to talk about it last, but I think that I'd like to talk about it first, if you don't mind, Howard.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, tomorrow, of course, is the fast day for Tisha B'Av. It's the only other 25-hour fast day in the calendar besides Yom Kippur. It's a very significant day in the Jewish calendar. It's the day upon which both of the temples were destroyed, the same Hebrew date, the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av. A lot of people, a lot of our commentators say that the reason why the temples were destroyed is because of this thing called Sinat Chinam. Because of the word Chinam has a number of different connotations. It really means for free, Chinam without cost. Some people say hatred, Sina is hatred, Sinat Chinam, hatred without reason. And I think we all can find reasons to dislike other people. I don't think that that's the main thing. I really think it's about justification. Are we really justified in disliking other people and expressing our hatred towards them? And as much as it might have been, you know, the breakdown of society at the time of the temple that then resulted, and that's obviously the Sinat Chinam, is the breakdown within the society, which then meant that people were not united in fighting against the threat that came from outside. I just wonder to what extent that's applicable in our modern day and within the things that we're going to be talking about in a few moments. I just have the feeling that we're kind of finding so much infighting within society that we're unable to really effectively group together in order to confront the threats that come from outside. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing to think about as we go through the fast day for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's actually interesting, Anthony, because and I'll tell it to you now, I'll repeat it, I was going to keep it for the end of the show, but I saw a quote that says, whilst you're sanitizing and wiping everything down, be sure to wipe the hatred hatred out of your heart, because that is a virus too.
I think that's right. I mean, it's not only about the hatred and disliking other people and whether you really have justification to feel this towards them, but it's also about what it does to us as a group, us as a society, what it does to us as a people, because while we are fighting against each other, we are unable to confront the enemy from the outside. And, you know, as I say, some of the things that we're about to talk about demonstrate that
absolutely.
In spades.
Yeah, let's talk about the anti-government protest in Tel Aviv.
Well, I mean, there was again another protest against the government, this time in Tel Aviv. And ironically, this was a protest which resulted from the protests which have now become a fairly standard feature of our society every Saturday evening, when the so-called Black Flag protesters turn up at junctions across Israel and particularly outside the Prime Minister's residences, both in Caesarea and in Jerusalem, to protest against the way in which not only the coronavirus issue is being handled, but the way in which we as a nation are generally being treated right now on a number of different levels, with the government in the kind of state that it is, with the Prime Minister under suspicion for all kinds of crimes that he might have committed as an official of government, for the lack of consistency, the way in which the coronavirus is being treated. People feel that we are not being handled particularly fairly, and those protests, the protest movement, which is on a Saturday night, the Black Flag protest, has been growing a lot. Ironically, the Minister of Internal Security, I'm guessing on instruction from the Prime Minister, has become very, very, very hard in dealing with demonstrators and protesters. water cannons have been brought out. The police have been instructed to keep people away from the prime minister's residence at some distance. There have been reports of brutality and violence on the part of the police as they've tried to enforce these laws. And the protest that took place yesterday in Tel Aviv was particularly against the public security minister, Amir Ohana, and his attempts to try to prevent the protests from taking place outside the prime minister's official residence. Now, the right of protest is really entrenched in our democracy, and there is no reason why anybody should be prevented from protesting, providing they do it peacefully and they don't damage any property and they don't hurt anybody. There is no reason why anybody should be moved from anywhere or should be prevented from protesting. And this is exactly what the protesters were trying to say yesterday against the public security minister, Amir Ohana. Ironically, the protest group was actually infiltrated by anti-protest protesters, and they were dressed up like the protesters, and they were made to feel as if they were part of the group. And then at some point, they just turned on the protesters, and they started to beat them up, and they started to smash bottles over their heads and things like that. It was pretty nasty. It was really nasty. And this is a very, very problematic issue that we're going to have to get to the bottom of very quickly. So unfortunately, these infiltrations are not helping our cause. We have a democracy. We're entitled to protest. Nobody should be damaged, injured. Nothing should be damaged. Nobody should be injured. And everybody should have their right to say what they want to say.
Yeah, it's just absolutely appalling. But, you know, I don't know if it's any consolation, but we certainly are seeing this type of, this discontent happening throughout the world. And I think people are just so frustrated that they're letting it out first on government, then on each other. And I do think we all need to be aware of it. Israel's new coronavirus commissioner presented his Shield of Israel strategy to fight the pandemic. Is he offering something new?
I think he is. This is Professor Ronnie Gamzu, who's finally now settled on a decent title. Not a Tsar and not a project manager, but apparently a coronavirus commissioner. By the way, I don't know why we use this word Tsar in government circles.
Absolutely, it's awful.
I don't know what the etymology is. I mean, I know that the Tsar was, you know, the leader of Russia before the revolution. We all know that. But why do we use it in government circles? Maybe there's a listener out there who knows why this term Tsar has been adopted for our general use. But we're not going to use it for Professor Ronnie Gamzu. We're going to call him the coronavirus commissioner. He did set out what he calls his Shield of Israel, Magen Israel plan to save Israel from the coronavirus. I think the most important thing that he did was he set out three simple contract terms with the people of Israel. He said that there will be a new contract established between the public and those managing the coronavirus. So this is his way of saying, up until now, we haven't had that. Okay. He didn't quite say it in those words, but this is his acknowledgement that what we've had up until now has really not been a partnership between the public and the officials who are managing the coronavirus. The second thing is that the IDF is going to take over management of testing and contact tracing. So that he already let on a day or two ago, and that's certainly going to be a critical part of what he's going to do. And the third thing that he said is that data will be consolidated and presented in a unified manner. So that's also about trust. Public trust that we have got information that we can believe in that comes from one central source. Mm-hmm. It's not about speculation. It's not about people guessing. It's about real hard facts which have been checked out, which have been verified, and which people can honestly believe in. So I think that this is a really, really great start. And I think in addition to that, what he's decided to do is to delegate a lot of responsibility to local authorities, and he's implemented what he calls a traffic light system. So if a local authority is given a green light, then they are effectively free to do as they wish within their local authority. They are managing it themselves. They are free to open restaurants. They are free to open whatever locations they wish within the city. It's all up to the local authority to decide what they do within their jurisdiction. If they have an orange light, then more money will be given from the government in order to fight a certain increase in the corona infection rate in that particular city, and that there will be more of a partnership between central government and the local authority to try and get them back to green light status. And if they have a red light, then effectively all management is taken away from the local authority and the central government makes decisions about what goes on in that local authority. I think it's an interesting way to look at the situation and to enter into a partnership, not only between the general public and the central government, but also between the local authorities and the central government. So we're really looking forward to Professor Gumzu coming out and being more open with us. And as I say, entering into this partnership, which I think is very important. The only thing that worries me is that he had the symbol of a handshake to represent the partnership between government and the public. And like handshakes
He needs a marketing team, because that is just a no-no. Those have to fall away. They completely have to fall away. Before we go into to the next, in fact, what he's saying is absolutely right. Before I even read that message, it's about transparency and trust. And that's what it is. If you can build those, if you can show transparency, consistency, and trust, he will make a lot of progress. Yossi says, does the TV, this Tov TV, have a filter to skip through unnecessary violence as well? It's so true. We're so obsessed with nudity and so-called immorality that we so often don't really care too much about the violent aspects that we're exposing our children to either. Or ourselves.
Apparently this 12DV has an option of a skip button, so you can actually officially skip through scenes, even though they might be there,
even the boring scenes,
because they're not considered to be that immodest. But you could potentially, I guess, skip through various things that you might not wish to watch.
Yeah, so a normal show, you can actually, it's quite good. You can get through everything in like record timing. And the knives were out in the Likud yesterday as the chief whip decided to punish those who have not been towing the party line. They're becoming a little autocratic there, aren't they?
This is really sinat chinam at its height. Really, it's just crazy. I mean, the main victim of this particular event that took place yesterday was Yifat Shasha Biton, who we've spoken about. She was the chair of the Knesset Committee for Coronavirus. She was fired yesterday officially by Miki Zohar, who is the coalition chair, the chief whip for the Likud, because she simply didn't toe the government line. She did not agree to certain things that the government had required of her. And she went down by saying that she does not regret anything that she did everything by her conscience, and that she would do it again given the opportunity. And I very much support her, and I very much admire her willingness to stand up to what is a very, very severe party line, a very, very firm party line, which is drawn. And ironically, now there are a few members of Knesset who have been calling for Miki Zohar, the coalition chairman, to be fired. Apparently already 12 Likud members who have signed a petition saying, get rid of Miki Zohar. He is, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu's main man, implementing the law and making sure that everybody toes the line. So I think that we're going to see some changes in the Likud, because the way the things are happening at the moment is a little crazy.
Indeed. It is 8 o'clock. Karen says kosher TV is a good idea. I think it's a terrible idea, Karen. And yeah, I don't know. I just hate anything like this when we try and impose our own sanctimonious view on others. It just makes me, I don't know, want to rush out and watch pornography. But that's just me. It is 8:01.
Don't, Howard. It's Tisha B'Av. Don't.
Well, I couldn't. It's the 9 days. I'm sure it's not allowed.
Exactly.
Isn't there music? Exactly. Anthony, thank you as always. We'll catch you on Monday. Have a meaningful fast, a Shabbat Shalom, and stay safe and healthy.